Welcome to A Time of Hope with highlights of last Sunday's worship service. I'm Russell Cobb, the pastor of the United Church of Christ of California and the Salem United Church of Christ. Salem's worship service is at 8:30 and the UCC of California's worship is at 10:30. And you can catch us online at our website, www.calmo-ucc.org. This Sunday, we finish our sermon series, Sight and Sound, that has looked at some of the heroes of our faith. This Sunday, we will look at the prophet Jonah. His book is only 4 chapters long and is near the end of the Old Testament. I encourage you to take a few minutes to read it through. Jonah was an unwilling man that God used to preach to his worst enemy, the Assyrians. We all know the fantastic story of Jonah being swallowed by a great fish, but what led Jonah to find himself in that dark, hopeless, wet place? I think we'll find that many of us are more like Jonah than we would like to admit. I've been reading a psalm each night for the day of the month, so on Tuesday I read Psalm 27. I love the first verse of Psalm 27. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? We need that reminder now more than ever. Fear has been rampant these past several months. No matter what, we need to live lives of faith in God. I encourage you to do the same. It may not seem like it, but He is in control. May God bless you with His grace and a strong faith. Thank you for listening.
Let's pray together. Eternal light, shine in our hearts. Eternal wisdom, scatter darkness of our ignorance. Eternal compassion, have mercy on us. Turn us to seek your face and enable us to reflect your goodness through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen.
Our special music is a rendition of Walk Like Jesus by our children's choir. The choir is directed by Connie Beston and Ellen Ash is the accompanist. Our scriptures are read by Mary Berger, and they're followed by Pastor Cobb's sermon, Sight and Sound, Samson, a Flawed Man, based on Judges 1:3-16.
Our first scripture lesson for this morning comes from Judges chapter 16, verses 25 through 30. Everyone there was having a good time, and they shouted, "Bring out Samson. He's still good for a few more laughs." The rulers had Samson brought from the prison, and when the people saw him, this is how they praised their God. "Samson ruined our crops and killed our people. He was our enemy, but our God helped us capture him." They made fun of Samson for a while. Then they told him to stand near the columns that supported the roof. A young man was leading Samson by the hand, and Samson said to him, "I need to lean against something. Take me over to the columns that hold up the roof." The Philistine rulers were celebrating in a temple packed with people and with 3,000 more on the flat roof. They had all been watching Samson and making fun of him. Samson prayed, "Please remember me, Lord God. The Philistines poked out my eyes, but made me strong. But make me strong one last time, so I can take revenge for at least one of my eyes." Samson was standing between two middle columns that held up the roof. He felt around and found one column with his right hand and the other with his left hand. Then he shouted, "Let me die with the Philistines." He pushed against the columns as hard as he could, and the temple collapsed with the Philistine rulers and everyone else still inside. Samson killed more Philistines when he died than he had killed during his entire life. Our second reading comes from Psalm 139, verses 1 through 12. The Lord is always near. You have looked deep into my heart, Lord, and you know all about me. You know when I am resting or when I am working, and from heaven you discover my thoughts. You notice everything I do and everywhere I go. Before I even speak a word, you know what I will say. And with your powerful arm, you protect me from every side. I can't understand all of this. Such wonderful knowledge is far above me. Where could I go to escape from your spirit or from your sight? If I were to climb up to the highest heavens, you would be there. If I were to dig down to the world of the dead, you would also be there. Suppose I had wings like the dawning day and flew across the ocean. Even then, your powerful arm would guide and protect me. Or suppose I said, I'll hide in the dark until night comes to cover me over. But you see in the dark, because daylight and dark are all the same to you.
Thank you, Mary, for that reading. I love that version. It really brought out the heart of that. I've got to tell you, I was a little worried for children's time because I was not seeing Joanne anywhere. And so she came out of the back doors, you know, just like, you know, a true celebrity should. And came down with Max, and they had a great lesson for that, and they told you a lot about Samson. We're going to be in the book of Judges if you want to turn there, chapters 13 through 17. In your bulletin, there's a little spot there if you want to write down some notes about the sermon, some things that you want to look back on a little bit. Our sermon series is Sight and Sound. We're looking at some of the heroes of the faith to see what lessons we can learn from them. If you've been to Branson and seen any of the plays down there, they've done these on Noah, as we talked about last week. And man, that's a great story. A lot of good things with that one. This week, you know, and again, last week, Noah was a righteous man. God called him that. And when we look at Samson here in chapters 13 through 17, he's only mentioned one other place in Scripture, and it's in Hebrews chapter 11 under the roll call of the faithful. And I've got to tell you, this is a difficult person to find something really positive to say about. I mean, his exploits are known as Joanne talked about in the children's time. We all know that, you know, Samson's known for his great strength, but when you read the story, there's really not a lot redeeming about the person Samson himself, but God still used him. That's why I called this sermon a flawed man. If you've never thought that, you know, God would never use me, I don't have it all together, I don't have everything lined up, I haven't memorized all the books of the Bible, you know, I don't know all the theology, I've not lived a perfect life, this sermon's for you. Somehow Samson, through all of this, from the very beginning, when Samson, before he was even born, God chose him and his family to be the one that he wanted to lead Israel through this period of time. And Judges is a unique period of time. Moses has died. Joshua has died. You know, they've led Israel, you know, through all these great battles and victories, brought them into the promised land. We've not gotten to Samuel and David yet, the times of the kings. This was a very interesting time, and it was also kind of a dark time for the nation of Israel. If you read the very last verse of chapter 21 of Judges, it says, "In those days, Israel had no king. Everyone did as they saw fit." Think about that. That was the time period that Samson was in. If you read the book of Judges, great stories in there. I mean, you've got Gideon, and you've got all of them, all those different stories that come up, and we get the story of Samson in there. But God chose imperfect people to do great things. You know, Samson was probably someone that didn't look too much different. You know, some of us may have thought that Samson maybe looked like one of my favorite Disney movies. If you've ever seen Beauty and the Beast, Gaston. I mean, if you think about Gaston, that's kind of the vision of Samson that I have. But Samson may have not been that person at all. He may have just been a regular-looking guy with long hair, because when you look at it, Delilah and all the ones that always wanted to know the source of his strength, they never said anything about his physical physique. You know, I thought it'd be obvious, you know, like Arnold Schwarzenegger or some of those guys. Well, the reason he's strong is because he's 6'5" and he's 275 pounds. He bench presses 600 pounds. It'd be easy, and obviously that's where he gets his strength from. But he may have been just an ordinary guy like the rest of us there that God chose to move his spirit upon him. But, you know, our history is littered with people who have done great things, but when you dig deeper into their lives, they weren't such good people. This past week, one of the stars from Home Improvement, one of our favorite shows. You know, I was the oldest of three boys, and so I kind of liked watching that show because there's a story about, you know, a comedy about a husband and wife and three kids. One of those stars of that show was arrested this past week for abusing his girlfriend. And so, you know, you look back at that, you look at one of our favorite comedians from the past, you know, Bill Cosby, and everybody knows what's happened to him. But our whole life has been filled with those types of things. We know the story of O.J. Simpson and the downfall of Lance Armstrong. If you saw maybe a few months ago, he came out and kind of explained very much in detail that, yeah, it was all true. I mean, you know, this is how bad I was. And he really didn't seem to be too apologetic about it. But when we look at the story of Samson, what can it teach us? As we read those verses, we look about the story of Samson. We see in chapter 13 that, you know, he's chosen by God. His family's chosen by God to do that. But we see that in chapter 14, he starts to make bad decisions. He chooses a wife from another culture, a culture that's totally anti the Israelites. And so that leads him into trouble. And we see that he lives in a violent time, that he fought the Philistines, and that he did some kind of unique things. You know, when he wanted to get back at the Philistines, he captured a bunch of foxes or jackals or wild dogs. You can determine which one it is. He tied their tails together, put torches in them, and let them run and destroy the whole harvest. I don't think you'd like that too much, Tony, if somebody set fire to your beans or your corn with dogs and let them run through, you know, the fields and destroyed all that. And so because of that, you know, Samson got into another tiff with the Philistines. But then we see later he kept making the same bad decisions, and he gets involved with a lady named Delilah. And again, they wanted to know the source of his strength. And finally, he gives them the source of his strength. His eyes are gouged out. He's arrested. He's put in chains. He's held there. He's grinding wheat like an ox or a mule. And then finally, he gets one more chance to vindicate his life for God at the very end before he dies. But he commits basically suicide to kill a bunch of people and himself. And that's how his life ends. I tell you, there's just not a lot redeeming in there. But what lessons can we learn from it? First of all, we see there, number one, that pride hampers our spiritual development. All through the book of Judges, all through these four chapters about Samson, we see that it's always about him. You see it in chapter 14, verse 2. The first thing he says there, he says, "I have seen a Philistine woman in Timnah. Now go there and get her for me as my wife. Dad, Mom, go get the lady that I like. Bring her to me. It's all about me." You know, I'm a Cowboy fan. I've been kind of put that on hold because it's been really hard to support them over the years, you know. I know what change needs to be made, but that change is never going to be made as long as one guy owns the team. But they've always had a kind of tendency to have some very self-involved wide receivers. You know, they had Terrell Owens for a while, and he said, "I love me some me." He said he was all about himself. Then they had Deion Sanders, and he says, "You know, I'm prime time." And he would dance around, and he'd make sure everybody knew it was him that made all these things happen. Then, of course, you had Michael Irvin, who was called the playmaker. You know, it was all about him. You know, he'd stand up anytime they got a first down, and he would point like a first down because he wanted all the attention to him. And we see the same thing here with Samson. The only time that he gives God glory is when he's about to die without any water. He finally calls upon God to give him, you know, to answer his prayer, but that's the only time he goes to him. But it's always about him. Look in chapter 15, when he's, you know, fought a battle there, and he's had a great victory over the Philistines. This is what he says about his great victory. And remember, anytime you see Samson, it always starts with the Spirit of the Lord came upon him. See, he was a Nazarite, which means you couldn't drink any wine, couldn't get your hair cut, and you couldn't touch anything dead. And people think that, you know, his hair was the source of his strength. The source of his strength was the Spirit of the Lord coming into his life because he obeyed the things that you had to obey as a Nazarite. But then this is what he said after he had this great victory of killing over 1,000 Philistines. Then it says, then Samson said in verse 16, with a donkey's jawbone, I have made donkeys of them. With a donkey's jawbone, I have killed 1,000 men. And when he finished speaking, he threw away the jawbone, and the place was called Ramoth Lehi. It was always about him. G. Gordon Liddy, who was one of the architects of the great Watergate scandal back in the early 70s that brought down a president. He organized a break into the Democratic National Committee. And this is what he said. He spent 52 months in prison because of it. He says, I have found within myself all I need and all I ever shall need. I am a man of great faith, but my faith is in George Gordon Liddy, and I have never failed me. I think that's where Samson was at. It was always about him, and because of that, that pride led him to make several bad decisions that will lead him farther and farther away from the Lord. I think the same thing happens with us a lot of times. We take credit for the blessings and the strength and the abilities that God gives us in our lives. We see the same struggle with pride through David. Instead of going out to battle and being involved in the things that he did, he stayed back and let his eyes deceive him, let temptation take over, and it destroyed his kingship and it destroyed his family. We see the prodigal son in the New Testament. When it came his time, it was about him. I'm going to take all the stuff that belongs to me and I'm going to go do the things that I want to do. But I think too many times we take credit for those victories and those blessings in our lives. And when we say it's all about us, pride hampers our spiritual development. It hampers our spiritual greatness that God has for us. But the second thing that we can learn from Samson is that choosing the right relationships matter. From the very beginning, Samson chose wrong relationships, one after another. When his parents gave him the advice to say, hey, maybe you shouldn't do this, he said, I'm going to go ahead with it anyway. He didn't listen to his parents. He didn't learn from his past mistakes. His first wife that he was going to marry, he gave the people, the guests of the party, a riddle. He'd killed a lion. And when he came back, there was honey in the carcass of the lion. So he gave him this riddle, out of something strong, something sweet comes. And they didn't want to have to pay off on the bet, so they threatened his future wife and his future father-in-law with death unless they found out the answer to his strength. And so she pleaded with him, just like Delilah does in the future. They eventually find out the reason from it all. And then the same thing happens with Delilah, but he never learned from his mistakes. Paul writes in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 33, that bad company corrupts good character. See, the longer that Samson was around the Philistines, the more he began to act like them. We've got to ask ourselves the question we talked a little bit about last week. It's dangerous to travel with the crowd. You better evaluate the crowd that you're in, because is the crowd affecting you, or are you affecting the crowd? I was very thankful, and one of the reasons I'm really a big proponent of having a high school youth group that meets regularly every Wednesday night, so that group develops a friendship and a kinship and a togetherness that helps them through the struggles of high school. I was so thankful for my friends, Philip, David, and Doug, and so many others and sponsors that opened up their homes for us to come in and watch movies and just have time, so we weren't taking part in some other things that some of our friends were taking part in that could have led to destructive behavior. I lost a classmate because he got in the wrong car when we were in high school. A car where people had been drinking, had an accident, and he died at the age of 16 because he got in the wrong car. I learned that lesson early. Before I could drive, our next door neighbor, an older lady, had a grandson stay with her. And one day after school,
I needed to ride home. I didn't want to ride the bus. You know, I was getting too old to ride the bus. And so I wanted to ride home with him. And we came out of the high school there. We went by the Baptist church and the tech school right there. And he stopped in the middle of the road and a guy pulled up and they started smoking marijuana right there in the middle of the street. You know, I'm sitting there in the car just thinking, boy, if somebody pulls up, if a police officer pulls up, I'm in the car. Yeah, that could be dangerous. It could impair his way, to, you know, impair the way that he drives. That could be dangerous. That's the last time I got in the car with Tom because I didn't want to be associated with that behavior. But we see Solomon struggled with that. God told him that there were some nations that which you shouldn't be marrying from. And this is what it says in 1 Kings 11. They were from nations about which the Lord had told the Israelites, you must not intermarry because with them they will surely turn your hearts after their own gods. One of the lessons we learned from Samson is the more time you spend away from the influences of your parents, the influences of those that love you and around you, the more that you tend to get farther and farther away from the Lord. And the last thing that we learn here, and I think it's the most important thing, is that God answers prayer, no matter where you're at. Here is Samson, you know, grinding wheat, acting like an ox and a donkey, no eyesight, chained up in the middle of a feast, people mocking and making fun of him, but that's when he chooses to pray. And it's not the best prayer, I guarantee you right there, because he wasn't praying to give God glory. He wasn't praying God, you know, say, hey, God, you've been a great God. Why did Samson pray? He said, I want to take revenge for my eyes. That's what his thoughts were still. It was still all about himself, but God answered that prayer. We see him answer the prayer of Samson's father at the very beginning when Manoah, his father, is told about they're going to have a child. They'd never had a child before. And Manoah says, hey, let's pray and bring that angel of the Lord back so he could teach us how to train our child up in the way that he should go. We see Samson pray when he's dying of thirst in chapter 15. Next week we'll talk about Jonah. He prayed from the belly of a whale. We see a prayer from hell. The rich man and Lazarus. He's in hell and he prays for Abraham. You know, hey, go send somebody back to my father. We see Elijah pray for no rain. We see in Cornelius in Acts chapter 18 and 19, or in Acts chapter 10, that he prayed and he wasn't even a Christian, and God heard his prayers. The reason we read Psalm 139 is that no matter where you're at, God will hear your prayer. He may not answer the prayer the way that you want to. That's what's been most difficult about this past week. Last week, we were right here in this pulpit asking everyone to pray diligently for the Trimble family, to pray for Justin. That prayer did not turn out the way that we wanted. I don't know why it didn't. We talked about that at the funeral yesterday. But I know that God hears our prayers. Look what Samson says there in chapter 6. And he says, remember me. I bet you there was times when Samson felt like he'd been abandoned. He'd been left alone. He had walked away. See, Samson had abandoned God, but God had not abandoned him. Joan of Arc is a French saint from the early 1400s. She died at the age of 19. She was burned at the stake in the battle, in the wars with England and France, and she stood up for her faith, and this is what her last words were. She said, it is better to be alone with God. His friendship will not fail me, nor his counsel, nor his love. In his strength, I will dare and dare and dare until I die. Will you dare to pray to God one more time? Maybe you say, man, he's not answered the prayers that I've wanted the way that I wanted him to. Maybe you've lost someone close in your life. Maybe you've wanted something to happen and God did not answer it the way that he wanted. But one of the lessons that we can learn from Samson is that God hears and answers prayer. Samson's story has something for all of us. As a youth, middle school, high school, college, make sure you make the decisions, proper decisions. Listen to the right group of people. Listen to your parents. Listen to the godly influence of those around you. If you're in your middle years, learn to start to control your emotions and grow in the Spirit. Samson reacted. He had not trained himself to respond to the Spirit of the Lord. He reacted and it got him to trouble after trouble. He didn't realize once his strength was gone that God had left him. That says there in that verse in chapter 16, after he finally confessed to Delilah, my strength is in my hair. It says, you know, she had someone come out and cut the hair off, and he woke up, he thought he could do it any way that he wanted to, just the way he had done it before. It says in there, he did not realize that the Lord had left him. I think many times that we think we can overcome things with our own abilities, our own power. But when we come to the end, we realize that that's just not good enough. That's when we realize the Lord is the only answer. But then also, if you feel like you've seen your best years, you're past the age that you feel like you're much use anymore, we're reminded here, God still hears our prayer. God can still use us. God's purpose was pretty simple with Samson. It was keep the Philistines at bay. And in one final act, 3,000 Philistines were destroyed. All the rulers of that time, it kept them at bay until Samuel and David came along. But just think about all the great things that God could have done in Samson's life if he had submitted himself from the very beginning until the very end. Just think about all the great things that God can do with each one of us if we submit ourselves to him starting now. Even if we don't submit the way that he wants us to, God's still going to use us. He used a donkey. I think he can use us. He used a whale to get Jonah's attention. I think he can use us. Think about how much Samson could have accomplished. But it's never too late for God to use each one of us here. Try one more time. Try one more prayer. We all have regrets. We all have scars. We all have hurts. Try to learn from the mistakes of the past. Call on the Lord to use you today. I'm always in the back. I'm in my office. I'm easy to contact. It helps to have people to talk with and visit with and pray with and give strength. But that's my encouragement to you today from the book of Judges, chapters 13 through 16. Samson shows us that we don't have to be perfect to be used by God. And that's why I chose the hymn this morning, Just As I Am. God takes each one of us just as we are, but he doesn't leave us that way. So let's sing Just As I Am.
Just as I am.
Let's pray. Father, you tell us to pray without ceasing. You tell us to pray on all occasions. Part of our prayer is to praise you. Thank you for the great God that you are. Thank you, Father, for the power you give us, the creativity that you've shown in nature. And Father, the gifts that you've sent us, the blessings that you give us, and the abilities that we use, Father. And we come to also to pray for our request, for people that are hurting, people are going through treatments, people are waiting on doctor's visits. We pray, Father, for healing there. We pray for comfort there. We pray for all the families that have experienced loss in our church body, in our community. There's so many. I'm thankful for our grief share classes that are meeting on Thursday nights that are ministering to groups of people like that, but we know there's many more. We lift up the Trimble family, we lift up the Ford family and their losses, and just help them, Father, know they have hope and encouragement through you, and that we will be there to support them and love them and just comfort them. I'm thankful, Father, for your son Jesus that gives us the hope that this world is not the end, that what we experience here is just a glimpse, Father, of what we will glimpse one day in heaven by being faithful to you and through your Son. As we pray together, our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven.
Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.